I know my voice can be annoying to begin with, but it's like super annoying right now. I think that's it for announcements. I went back there. I wasn't long-winded. They just were in the middle of worship, and I didn't want to interrupt them. So I don't want to hear anything from my boys when I get home about being long-winded. All right. Now, here we go. That still is there on that base end. I don't know if we can fix that or not. Lord, in Jesus' name, anoint us to receive your word. Anoint me to preach it. That's the job right now. We've gone through the process to get in the tabernacle, the holy place. And now, Lord, as the stone tablets just received your finger and you wrote those Ten Commandments in stone, may our hearts receive the finger of God that you write your commandments, your word upon our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We love football, and we were at a football game last fall down in the inner city, inside the perimeter, and not like in Buckhead, in the city, if you know what I mean. And when suburban football teams go to play in the city at Grady Memorial Stadium, we need the referees to do their job, if you know what I'm saying. And there was a group of referees at this game, and it was a tightly contested game. And the line judge, which sits, the line of scrimmage runs this way, and the offense is going this way, and the defense is defending this goal. And as the line of scrimmage moved toward the middle of the field where most of us sat, we could see what we thought was true is true. There was a kid lining up like 4 to 6 inches offsides. And he would move early. And the line judge is on the line looking across, and there's symmetry. And you know when someone's lined up offsides, especially when they move early. And so as they got closer, I felt God calling me to say something. And so I began to prophesy. And here's what I said. You've got one job. Just one. Make sure no one lines up offsides or leaves early. One job. It went from bad to worse. Then there was a penalty, and they had one of those conferences, and they were trying to decide what was the penalty and how will we assess it. In the meantime, the refs on the first down markers had moved the sticks. And so they came out and announced the penalty, but the line of scrimmage had moved. And they couldn't remember where the ball was, nor could they remember what down it was. So you have 7 referees, all 7 of them have one job. And we've got 3 of them that are not doing their job. Well, I got anointed. And I began to pray. And I looked at my family, and it's a family affair. We go to a football game, and everything I say in the football stands cannot be held against me in a court of law. I'm doing better. You have one job. That's it. You don't have to see what's going on in the backfield. You don't have to call plays. You don't have to run plays. You don't have to keep the scoreboard. You have to remember what down it is. You have to watch and make sure nobody jumps offside. That's your job, Mr. Line Judge. And on and on and on it goes. And they failed. We did win the game, and therefore we came home with our salvation and a need for a little more sanctification. But it was a good deal. God is creative. He's mysterious. And this is another one of those sermons. I come with passion this morning. And the more I study for a sermon, the word is like, you ever ordered anything on Amazon? You go to buy one thing, and as soon as you get ready to pay for it, you put it in your cart. Amazon has a demon, and it will say, everybody else that bought that also bought one of these things. And those things lead to something else, and one thing after another. And in studying for a sermon, I just go, oh, Lord, give me focus to say what you want to say, because you're saying a million things to me. And he is creative. He is mysterious. It doesn't mean he's unreliable. He does things his way, and his way is better than our way. His way is not our way. And with all of that, one of the things the Lord's been speaking to me and revealing to me in Scripture is he's mysterious, unpredictable. He surprises us. Have you ever noticed God only gives you information on a need-to-know basis? I hate that about him. But he only gives you enough for the next step. And I'm not just being cute. That's how he is. But in all of that, I've realized he always only asks us to do one thing. We have one job. Like right now, my job is to proclaim God's word. A few minutes ago, it was to worship God. And this is a form of worship, but my form has changed. Your job right now is to receive God's word. And if I do my job and you do your job, our job right now between 11:30 and 12:05-ish, emphasis on ish, if we do our jobs, we get transformed. God gets glorified. We get changed. God moves. Something great happens in the earth. How many of you will say, I want to do my job? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, right now, you have one job. Proclaim it to them. We've talked about the last several weeks about Moses, Joshua, the Hebrew children in Egypt getting through out of Egypt, across the Red Sea into the wilderness, getting into the promised land. And before we move on, I am in a different series, or I'm actually not in the old series. This is like a standalone sermon. But before we move on, the Lord really spoke to me that, especially among the younger generation, there's so much that happened with the story of Moses before where we picked it up. We picked it up where he was leading them out of Egypt. And some of you who've been around the faith and you know the word, you know the beauty of Exodus 1 and 2. In Exodus chapter 1, the midwives had one job. Just listen to me closely. The midwives, what was happening? Pharaoh was seeing this. There's so much I'm going to skip over and just mention. But the slaves, the children of God, they were growing to where they were outnumbering the citizens of Egypt. The Egyptians were now had a smaller group of people than God's people, the slaves. And that began to concern Pharaoh. And let me stop and just say this. When God's favor is on you, when God begins to bless you and use you, and that's what he wants to do, that God confidence will create an insecurity in people who are trying to control you. And it happens all the time, and the enemy will try and squelch what God wants to do. We see the same thing in the New Testament when Jesus was born.